Kretzky from PI, and he's going to talk about quantum information geometric foundations beyond the spectral paradigm.
So as an organizer, I would like to thank you for coming to this fantastic event. I'm really happy to have all of you here. And I hope it would be interesting for you what I'm going to tell you. So I would like to start from quotation from for an important person from the first wave of quantum foundations, Bogdan Mielnik. At the beginning of one of his less known papers, he says the following thing. Unlike the Riemannian manifolds, the quantum mechanical unit spheres do not differ one from another. They are all isomorphic. The worlds of the present-day quantum mechanics thus present a picture of structural monotony. They are all painted on the same standard idealist symmetric surface. The formalism of the quantum theory of infinite systems and quantum field theory is not very different from that. The basic structural framework of the theory is conserved at the cost of quantitative multiplication. When meeting a new level of physical reality, the quantum theory responds by simply producing infinite tensor products of its basic structure. It may be that present-day quantum theory still represents a relatively primitive stage of development and lacks some essential evolutionary steps leading towards structural flexibility. If this were so, further development would involve a program opposite to quantization of gravity. Instead of modifying general relativity to fit quantum mechanics, one should rather modify quantum mechanics to fit general relativity. I think that at least some of people who are here in the audience today would be sympathetic towards the statement. I think that if this perfectly summarizes my own motivations for this thought, what I want to tell you. And like after this, apart from this nice statement from prominent figure, I would like to add some very speculative statement. Namely, if there was special relativity at some many years ago, and later there was introduced new theory, general relativity. And the question is whether actually quantum mechanics, as we know, and this quantum mechanics like stated as by von Neumann in terms of Hilbert spaces and so on, the one that has good well-defined mathematical formalism and operational semantics, is all just a special quantum theory, and we are up to find general quantum theory, both regarding on the level of mathematical structure, but also on the level of experimental semantics. And if this might be so, that maybe another even more provocative and vague analogy might be meaningful, namely, maybe all those perturbative techniques of doing quantum theory beyond quantum mechanics that is applied now in order to derive various predictions is actually something like the theory of Ptolemaic epicycles, and we still need to find the analog of Newtonian dynamics. So this is something like a solid motivations, and now something more concrete. So this one I will tell you consists of three parts. At the beginning, I would start from all mathematical framework that you all know, density matrices, Hilbert spaces. And I will tell you about interesting structures, geometric structures that could be introduced there, namely relative entropies and Poisson structure. And I will show you how one can use those geometric structures to find an exact generalizations of both dynamical structures that are present in ordinary quantum mechanics. So generalization of Luder's rules, and that they can be derived from constrained relative entropy maximization principle, and also that unitary evolutions actually can be derived from wider class of nonlinear Hamiltonian flows that are generated by Poisson structure. This would be kept in normal formalism, and having like interesting thing like well-defined, interesting geometric generated dynamical structures, I would then ask a question, okay, can we actually try to propose a kinematics and also semantics that would make this dynamics a part of a new framework, not only just something interesting that might be done, but leads to some contradictions within the standard quantum mechanical setup. So I would try to adapt both kinematics and semantics to meet those possibilities that are provided by new geometric and dynamic notions. And on the way, like this path would be covered by the following steps. At the beginning, I will tell you how one can think of quantum states beyond Hilbert spaces, not yet, or not in the terms of general probabilistic theories, but a bit different way. At this level, one can argue that it will be more specific than GPTs, but later, because I will introduce some properties of the framework, it actually be just different framework from GPTs. Then I will reconstruct kinematics and dynamics based on this and do a simple reconstruction, not really like very semantically sound, but mathematically well done. And then I will discuss semantics, how to deal with those mathematical objects in a way that goes beyond standard probabilistic things and spectral theory in particular. And at the end, I will tell you, I will just show you a proposal for construction, how to produce something that could be called emergent spacetimes from this mathematical setup. Okay, so let's start. So the thing that I will be telling you about, this would be basically all the time in the background, there would be subsets of positive race class operators. So like usually when we think of density matrices, they are normalized trace class operators. I would take arbitrary subsets of positive cones. So it's just there is no normalization assumed. And I would not be dealing with convex set of or normalized states, but just arbitrary sets a priori. And so this would be like spaces that I will consider right now. And on those spaces, I will consider various quantum relative entropies. I will use term distance, despite the fact that they are mostly non-symmetric. But it's a thing that you can use to measure relative distance and quantify how far information states are from each other. So I think it's valuable. I don't use term entropy here because somehow entropy for me is negative and this functional has takes positive value. In both cases, both regarding choice of the space of quantum states and the choice of quantum distance, additional structural constraints would be introduced whenever required. So if you want to have convex mixtures, you will just restrict your attention to convex sets. If you would like to have asymptotic estimation provided by tools of differential geometry, you would assume smooth structure. The same with entropies. If you want to have like unique and existing and unique optimization problems, solutions of optimization problems, you would probably need to assume lower semi-continuity and convexity. But right now, before applications, everything is possible. Here are some examples. There are many different distance functionals. All of them, they are used in various literature, quantum estimation, quantum information, statistical mechanics. Okay, so here we have our entropies and spaces of states. And now I will introduce a term that I will call entropic projection. And this is always like a bit of thinking required to understand this definition, so I will just go step by step. So imagine this should be H here. So imagine that you have some space of density matrices, and you have some other space of density matrices. I will use term density matrices, even if not they are not normalized, just to save time on speaking super precise long statements. So you have space of density matrices M and space of density matrices Q, and you take some psi in the space M. And now you are searching for such Q, for such rho in the space Q that minimizes this distance. So you have a constraint, you know that rho belongs somewhere to Q, but you want to select such rho that is closest in terms of D. And if this minimization problem, this infimum has a solution and this solution is unique, then you just take this row here and return it as an argument of the function. And then you call it entropic projection. Naturally, there are many different forms of Q for which this problem has no reasonable solution, or solutions do not exist, or they are not unique. And basically, if you think of this, well, this is a map of basically a transformation from one state to other. Yes, so we can think of this as, if you consider quantum states as information states, then mapping of states should be considered as some sort of information dynamics or information processing. So if you consider this as an information processing tool, then you might say that this specific information processing tool is well defined only for specific data types, so specific form of constraints. For example, like if you take the only, well, not the only one really, but like the most popular symmetric quantum relative entropy, then the data types that provide existing and unique solutions for this are embeddings of closed convex subspaces from Hilbert-Schmidt space. This is, I won't denote this Schatten, second Schatten class, this is the same as Hilbert-Schmidt space. And if you take, on the other hand, if you take omega key entropy, then good data type are constraints of the form, like affine constraints. This is Lagrangian problem. Lagrange formulation of the variational problem. So it's like, it's trace blah, 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 equal to some constant function. So for various entropies, I could give other examples. Usually if you have an entropy, you may find a good data type for it. Okay, so we have a notion of entropic projection. And now, why I actually want to have it. So, you know, there's rules. They kind of are standard stuff in quantum mechanics. And like along the lines of quantum Bayesianity, there was a lot of discussion of consideration of Lüder's rule as an analog of Bayes' rule. This was never, I mean, the level of exactness of this analogy was varying, but I always had the feeling that something is missing in those discussions. In the meantime, there was a nice result, actually kind of improved along the years, and I think that Ariel and Adam did this work, this pretty definite in 2006, you can derive Bayes' rule as a special case of relative constraint relative entropy maximization. So this, what you consider as a standard updating rule, is just a special case of larger framework of information processing techniques. And also, there is like more recent paper that is doing this for a bit different entropy. This should be D1 here or here. No, this is a typo. Okay, so now is a question: if those guys are considered to be analogy, whether we can derive Lüder's rules from constraint maximization of quantum relative entropy? And the answer is yes. And this is a very nice thing. So you might think of that both Bayes' rule and Lüder's rules are just special cases of relative entropy maximization, which makes it pretty interesting thing to consider them as just different forms of of the same larger mathematical rule that you can use to provide quantum or commutative inferences. Also, in this paper, Katisha Giffen paper, there is derivation of another rules that is used in Bayesian updating, Jeffrey's rules, which is a bit more general. And also, the quantum analog of this rule can be also produced from relative entropy maximization. So this is not that this is just an occasional result, that actually Lüder's rules and Bayes' rules can be derived. It's like larger, you know, virtually whatever Bayesian rule is there, probably it can be derived from this or other entropy with these or other constraints. I mean, I would not publish such a statement, but it seems that this technology is quite powerful. Okay, so this is like, we have some interesting mapping on the space of states provided by constraint relative entropy maximization. Let's find another interesting mapping. So for a while, let's consider self-adjoint trace class operators. Yeah, so we take trace class operators and we require them to be self-adjoint. And now the nice thing is that this is a real Banach space. It might be infinite dimensional. You can equip, maybe this way, you can equip it because it's real Banach space, you can equip it with the smooth structure, modeling each tangent space in each point of the space, just as this space. So cotangent space is just its Banach dual. So it's just self-adjoint operators. Okay, cool. So this fact has been used by Bona to introduce the Poisson structure on the spaces of all self-adjoint trace class operators using the Lie algebra of generated by commutator in among self-adjoint operators. So if you take, assume that you have like, you consider smooth functions on trace class, self-adjoint trace class operators. This is Frechet in infinite dimensional case, this is Frechet infinite dimensional, infinite Frechet differentiable functions. And so it's a function. So you produce one form that belongs to cotangent space, which it means that belongs to algebra. So you can calculate commutator. And then you can show that this object actually satisfies all properties of Poisson bracket. And even more, because infinite dimensional Poisson theory is pretty delicate, but actually this is so neat thing that every smooth function determines a well-defined Hamiltonian vector field. It's not trivial in infinite dimensions for Poisson structures, but it holds. Very nice. So if you take space of quantum states right now, which is a smooth submanifold of this original manifold, then every smooth function on this space determines a Hamiltonian vector field. Okay, now you can do it not only with like taking commutator from full algebra B of H, but you can restrict to some Banach Lie subalgebras. And in principle, you might have a family of different Poisson structures on density matrices. Okay, so if you just calculate what is the Hamilton equation for this Poisson structure, you get this thing. And this is a generalization of von Neumann equation, which is like operator version of Schrödinger equation. Here, H is arbitrary smooth function, arbitrary nonlinear smooth function of density matrices. And this is well done evolution. If you solve it, you don't get unitary group of unitaries. You get cocycle of unitaries. So like point dependent unitaries, the solutions are point dependent and time dependent. But if this function is a function generated by old school observable, just a self-adjoint element, then this equation reduces to standard unitary evolution. So the conclusion is, using Poisson structure, you might use every smooth function on a manifold of quantum states as a generator of well-defined Hamiltonian evolution. And if this function is affine in states, so even stronger than linear, then you get back to unitary evolution. Cool. Okay, so the conclusion so far, well, conclusions so far are that we have two interesting nice structures on the spaces of quantum states, relative entropies and Poisson structure. They correspond to two like conceptual things, like relative entropies are basically used to do inference or estimation. On the other hand, well, restricting the notion of causality from this, what people here are usually doing, to like more physicist type notion of causality. So the low-like structure that is unfortunately dependent already on time prescribed time parameter. You might say that, the choice of different Hamiltonian functions with different Poisson structure represents a choice of a specific convention of causality. And those two geometric structures generate two types of evolution. You can condition inference on a choice of specific causality, and you get precise generalization of unitary evolution followed by a projective measurement. And the postulate that is like might be a starting point for building up a larger interesting formalism is to consider this as a replacement for CP maps. In order to have like full-fledged CP maps, you need to have also like tensor producting the state and partial tracing, but it's actually not, I'm not really certain that tensor products are the best way of doing quantum systems. And I think that there is something still to be discussed, how we think of composing quantum systems and so on. But this is something like I would like to leave. The idea is that if you accept that you have, that you want to have initial states that are correlated, and then you drop one, then really what remains to be proven is that partial trace can be also considered as entropic projection. And then if you drop this uncorrelation, this assumption of correlation, basically this framework will provide the generalization of the framework of CP maps, which is really cool because it is very conceptually clear what's happening. Yeah, you really put constraints that you put into entropy are really operationally meaningful. Okay, so this is nice stuff. Yeah, so now the idea is basically build up kinematics that takes into account those nice features. And so consider arbitrary spaces of non-normalized density matrices for now as fundamental object of inquiry. So not Hilbert spaces anymore, just sets of quantum states. Allow any nonlinear functions as observables, because we already saw it's any nonlinear function generates Hamiltonian evolution. It's very nice property. I mean, it's something that may be useful. Then define geometry of those spaces of quantum states, not using scalar product on Hilbert spaces, but using those two geometric structures, and define dynamics also using geometry. Okay, now there's a question, what to do with Hilbert spaces and what to do with all those semantical things that we are trained to use in quantum mechanics? Yes, so like if we use nonlinear observables, then what with spectral theory, what with Born rule, and so on. So the answers that I would like to present right now to all this stuff is first, get rid of Hilbert spaces using W-star algebra and replace density matrices by positive integrals on W-star algebras. Actually, I mean, those things were considered before, but I think that there was never a serious attempt, a systematic attempt to build quantum foundations considering integrals on W-star algebra as a strict replacement of probability theory, Kolmogorov-type probability theory. So basically, this setup of quantum states as integrals on those algebras is exactly, in a mathematical sense, generalizes Kolmogorov setup. So you might think of, okay, if I have quantum states over something, and in special case it reduces to probability theory, why I should approach my data through probability theory? Maybe I should approach my data directly with quantum states, if it's already mathematically more general. But in order to make sense of it, especially if you introduce such things like nonlinear functions and geometry, you need to have well-done semantics. Okay, so just to quickly, actually, when do I end? Like
16 minutes.
16 minutes, okay. Well, there are some surprises on the way. So basically, if you look on those two sides, top and bottom, of the screen, you will see that there is a lot of analogy when you consider probability theory and density matrices in quantum mechanics. Basically, there is almost everything is the same. And in particular, there is a nice feature that the space that contains all states, when you construct Banach dual space of it, then it produces the space of where all observables sit. And you can abstract those features to very general notion. So imagine that you have just an algebra with a unit that you equip with such star, which satisfies those properties. And this star is basically an abstraction of adjoint that you use in quantum theory adjoint of an operator. You assume that this algebra is also Banach space, and you require that algebraic operations are continuous in the norm. Okay, this defines your so-called sister algebra, but now you want to add this structural property that whenever you take an algebra, there exists a space, a Banach space, that this algebra is a dual of. And you just impose this assumption. So there exists a Banach space satisfying Banach space duality. Okay, this is W star algebra, that's all. Nice thing is that already this definition allows you to reproduce basic spaces for both quantum mechanics and probability theory. So if this W star algebra is commutative, you get this stuff. If it's type one factor, you get this stuff. Well, it's nice. Generally, I would like to postpone questions to the end if it's not super important.
Is the W star algebra associated by
definition? Yes. Okay. So the nice thing is that you can interpret, like here, every element of the predual could be interpreted basically as an information state or a density of an integral with respect to fixed notion of integration. Here also the positive element of a predual, yeah, and it can be interpreted as a positive integral on this algebra. So far, so good, but the power of this definition is that actually it allows to generalize basically all or most of all structures that are in the integration theory, like hardcore structures. So, for example, like LP spaces with full functoriality of assignment, conditional expectation, partial integration, and so on. This is, for example, not the case if you generalize commutative integration into direction of projection lattices. So if you consider like measures on projection lattices and you want to consider a Gleason theorem as important, then you will not get this structure of flexibility. There is the measure theory on projection lattices is really not so, it's just like poorer. I'm so bad in English. Like, it's not so rich. Okay, so let's take the spaces. Let's take some W star algebra. It will be our underlying space right now. And let's take, again, let's consider general quantum information models as arbitrary subsets of positive parts of preduals. This reproduces previous definition in those cases. And here, I don't assume convexity, smoothness, normalization, because I don't want to presume all the semantic things. If you want to have restrict to the semantics, okay, but I'm trying to build up as interesting as general framework as possible without introducing anything what I don't need. Okay, observables are defined as arbitrary functions. Smooth observables define Hamiltonian vector fields, as we already saw, and each observable in the old sense, like quantum mechanical sense, defines a corresponding observable in a new sense as an affine function. So here we have. Okay, so now we have like, well, we actually got to the point. Then we already have new kinematics. You can think of it that, yeah, well, there has to be more magic on the way. So you can think of it as basically as considering expectations as definitely more fundamental as an eigenvalue, as eigenvalues. So instead of Hilbert spaces that up to norm and completion are just spaces of eigenvectors, you take spaces that up to normalization are spaces of expectation functionals. Here is replace observables that are linear functions and have real eigenvalues by nonlinear real valued functions. And instead of geometry by defined by scalar product, you have two geometric structures that give you some kind of powerful geometry here. Okay, and I'll probably tell about some of those things later on. And those two structures define two geometric structures define two dynamical structures. I already told you about this. Okay, so reconstruction is like this. And all this framework, I mean, if you ask about relationship to, for example, to GPTs, it looks like this. So if you restrict only to linear observables and you forget geometry, then you just come to this setup of W star algebras and states on them, linear states on them. And then this is a special case of GPT. Like, you just can take Alston Schultz and derive it with your best semantics. Probability theory is like a quantum mechanics is like also there. And it's interesting whether there are like some GPTs that are not linear W star algebras that are still here. I don't know. It would be interesting to characterize them as zero, as null set, or to actually find something interesting. Okay. Additional thing is that you take relative entropy and many equations. We'll do quickly this stuff. So if you take relative entropy and you assume that it's smooth, and you also assume that the manifold you are on is equipped with the smooth structure, for example, it's finite dimensional and smoothly parameterized, then, and you assume that the second order territorial expansion is, the Hessian is positive definite, then by so-called Eguchi equations, you get Riemannian metric and a pair of affine connections that satisfy a generalization of defining property of Riemannian, you can say Levitchian connection or Riemannian geometry. These are parallel transports. And you can always associate unique Riemannian geometry. And for example, if you take normalized, strictly positive density matrices and ordinary Umegaki relative entropy, then this gives you such interesting Riemannian metric on the space of states. You can call it quantum metric if you like things to be quantum by their names, and because by the structure they are quantum anyway. And here you have like two different parallel transports of the corresponding affine connections. Okay, interesting property. But now you can look on this in the following way. So here you have your W star algebra. Here you have some model, some manifold. And at each point, you have a tangent space. Tangent space that actually, in which the vector of the tangent space is also an self-adjoint operator in the old sense. On the other hand, to each tangent, okay, let's be called like phi, and this is like tangent space. So modulo some small issues in infinite dimensional case, each of those tangent spaces is locally embedded into corresponding Hilbert space, and there is also a bundle of Hilbert spaces. You may think that if you like to look at manifold in a flat way, here is a bundle of Hilbert spaces, and here is a bundle of tangent spaces. And if you know some minimum thing about algebraic stuff, those Hilbert spaces are generated by GNS construction. My point is that it's not only that one can reconstruct, oh, restrict algebra, blah, 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 in global reconstruct quantum mechanics. Wow. But also, it's like that locally, in each point, you have quantum mechanics. So it's a very interesting thing that you might have globally some theory of inference, some theory of, with inference and causality, but locally in each point, it's quantum mechanics still. Okay, so I'm returning to the question. And now there is a question like whether I would tell you about emergence of spacetime or semantics. I will do quickly emergence of spacetime because it's super quick. So you might know about Jacobson paper. And if you don't know, then read it because it's 6 pages and few equations and it's really deep in the sense that it's very simple, but it's very profound. And basically, Jacobson starts from assuming arbitrary Lorentzian manifold, postulates thermodynamic relationships between certain geometrical quantities that appeared also previously in the case of black hole thermodynamics and so on, and assuming only these thermodynamic relationships and pseudo-Riemannian Lorentzian manifold, he gets Einstein equations as equation of state, which is wow, because it means that you might think of it that it's not something fundamental derived from Lagrangian, but this is just some sort of effective equation of state. If you are post-Jainsian and you really believe that thermodynamics is basically information theory, then you think, oh, okay, these are some information theoretic relationships that under proper thinking should be semanticized by some information theoretic conditions. Okay, so if you can get this from information theory and you can get this also semantically, then basically you can get Einstein equations and stuff. Okay, so now is a question. If we have such interesting framework that we have quantum states, things are nonlinear, we have some nonlinear time evolutions, we have Riemannian relative entropies, but we can produce Riemannian metrics, can we somehow try to get spacetime out of this? And okay, so, but just getting things by mathematics without postulating generating general principle is not nice. So let's have a general principle. And general principle is consider a principle of equivalence of Euclidean quantum statistical mechanics with Lorentzian QFT Weyl rotation as a fundamental principle, which could be considered as analogous to equality of gravitational inertial mass. If you don't think that this is relevant, I would like to propose you a thought experiment. Namely, imagine that for 3 months, physicists are forbidden from using analytic continuation in calculation of their models. Okay? Just there is a general law. You cannot use it. Okay, and please check the decay of the number of papers, number of results, number of careers, and so on. So this is a thought experiment. It's up to you whether you accept its validity or not. Okay, so we have a structure, actually, information theory structure, that actually encodes, it's a correlation functional, it's a metric, Riemannian metric. And, well, it's something that we could Weak rotate, but using what? We have actually some prescription for dynamics, some prescription for temporal evolution. Okay, let's do it. But in order to do it, we need still to have something that we would consider as a spacetime. And, you know, spaces of quantum states might have arbitrary dimensions, and there is no reason to consider that arbitrary quantum model will have anything to do with spacetime. However, for me, spacetime is actually whatever I measure and call it space and time. Like if you have some instruments in lab and you call them space measuring instruments and you have time measuring instrument, then you have already your operational definition of space and time. So if you are able to reasonably introduce a submanifold, parameterization of some submanifold of quantum states bijectively by parameters of space and time that you have in laboratory, then you might consider restriction of this Riemannian metric to the submanifold. And if also so it happens that your quantum dynamics goes there, you may basically do a weak rotation of this metric along this line of the vector field. So you produce a pseudo-Lorentzian manifold with Lorentzian manifold with time orientation. I would call it emergent spacetime. It's still up to methods of semantization whether you would find it valuable or not. However, looking that this comes from general theory of inference, I think it's pretty powerful ansatz, at least. Naturally, there is like, the question is how you get that spacetime is four-dimensional here. There's nothing, and I'm unable to answer this more than just telling you that Markus had some interesting things to say about this, and I hope that you were listening to him at his talk. There's also that it doesn't have to be like global foliation of the manifold. There might be just a bundle and so on. You can play with this concept. When you already have this concept here, you can really try to improve it. And now you have still those quantum states that you have, like for example here, you have still quantum states that have not went into the construction of spacetime. They form a bundle over spacetime. We have quantum states over spacetime. It's some kind of like quantum field theory. And now there is a question how to produce it. I will not tell you about this because I have almost no time. Do I have 1 minute?
Yeah.
Cool, very good. Two?
Okay.
Okay, so I think that here we are already at the end. So I can tell you a bit, like super quickly, how to deal with nonlinear variables. Okay, so here is the, maybe. Well, maybe you can ask me because at the questions time, because it's still a few slides. So instead of it, I will summarize in the remaining 30 seconds. I will summarize what I have told you. So I haven't told you about those 2 points, you know. Regarding like generally, so basically I started from observation that there is like cool nonlinear quantum dynamics that might be valuable for us. And if you think about quantum field theory doing all the time unitaries and perturbations and those epicycles, maybe actually it's valid to consider nonlinear quantum dynamics for this purpose. But then there was a question how to do it, how to build up with good kinematics and good semantics. I had no time to tell you about semantics. But there's a nice framework. It gives you very interesting results. The thing is that if you have already this framework with tangent spaces, don't miss the talk of Cedric, because actually he has a lot to say how to do renormalization in a framework when you have tangent spaces over quantum models. So actually you can do information theoretic renormalization there. So it's super cool. And also there is at least an ansatz, sociologically justified ansatz, for emergence of spacetime. So, okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Your stuff about the emergent spacetime is very interesting, but there seems to be no dynamics. There seems to be no Einstein equations.
Here are they.
Sure, but I'm saying that go forward one slide.
And then you get this.
Oh, no, but go forward one slide. I'm saying something very different, because there it looks like you have some foliation, some kind, because you have this metric, and now you're getting something that's Lorentzian. So you're saying that you're stacking some spaces together. So how, you have to know something about the deformations normal to this, like, you know, sub leads of this foliation to know about the Einstein equations.
No, I would say the opposite. I would say that if you consider Einstein equations as an emergent structure, then you would say that specific constraints for information, specific information constraints that were introduced to derive it, predetermine the available solutions that you might deal with.
So you know that this is going to give you Einstein gravity and Horowitz-Lipschitz or something?
Sorry?
Do you already know that this will give you Einstein gravity instead of Horowitz-Lipschitz or something like that?
The answer is definitely no, because I have no idea what Horowitz-Lipschitz is. I know that there are papers on archive about this, and there are talks. But I will tell you this way. You can derive a certain class of Lorentzian manifolds. It's not that you can derive all of them, because it's really up to the possible space of relative entropies that might be considered to derive metrics. Yes? So, and also possible, well, actually Hamiltonian forms are pretty general here. It's more about restriction of metrics. So the thing is that this, what you can derive, puts restrictionized on equations. However, when I was fascinated more by general relativity by anything else, I always considered this thing as very superficial. You have, you know, metric is something like really fake. When you ask what are observables here, and you know what is actually determined by which operational thing that you can quantify, it's really mundane. So I personally would be not afraid of restricting generality of Einstein equations, which are kind of lacking operational meaning, sufficient operational meaning, by something which has very strong operational meaning.
Sure, so long as you don't restrict it to the extent to which you have no solutions of the known field equations from your scheme.
yes, absolutely, absolutely.
So I don't know if I actually understand your proposal correctly, but so you want to label basically space-time as some submanifold of your quantum state space, is that correct? And then use the geometry you have on this information geometry to basically define your space-time geometry.
Yes.
So you have then a quantum state per space-time point or something like this?
Yes.
Okay, but don't we usually think of quantum states rather as being, you know, functions on space.
Yes,
than first,
but the point is that which quantum states are considered as those which we consider over the space time. So this would be a super short answer. So in this model, when you actually have foliation, this is what I wrote, like you have general model. It's like it's the most simple. It's most simple case that you can do. You have this space time, and then you have like fiber of quantum states in each point, actually. Well, the thing is that the idea would be to take a cross section of this bundle, and you can identify it with a specific Hilbert space in which you have in which you represent the states that you have. I think that this construction, to speak about this construction, would like need 2-3 minutes, and I don't want to take time from earlier, but I would be happy to tell about more of this. Basically, such situation of having a bundle of like this, and later having a bundle of Hilbert spaces over the space, is considered by Prugovetsky, and he's doing reasonable derivation of QFT amplitudes from very similar setup. So such thing was already considered passing in literature. It's...
Okay, but so would you also apply the same, for instance, to qubits, to the distance on, I don't know, between two qubit states? Then let's say you put in a spin up and spin down state into some Stengel experiments, and then, they will deflect. And how do you want to relate that distance in your quantum state space to distance in geometry? Because distance would you associate it to?
I think that scientific honesty requires me to answer that I never understood thinking in terms of qubits. And even I have problems with understanding things in terms of Alice and Bob. I always think in terms that I have some sort of operational constraint that define my model. And I'm like thinking from this side. So like for me, qubit is pretty big abstraction already. I don't know how to deal with qubits. Like, if you would tell me what are your operational constraints that define your model, like here and there, and how you introduce those geometric parts, then I would think, okay, so is it reasonable to introduce space and time here or not? But like from such a statement, I don't have enough conceptualization to answer this question. It's hard for me to translate this language to this sort of language. But it's my weakness. But I just don't know how to meaningfully answer this question because I really don't understand it precisely.
Well, we can discuss it later.
Okay. Maybe one last quick question.
Okay.
Maybe quick. Kind of more conceptual question, also in the direction of this
emergence of space time. So, I mean, you're considering kind of generalization of quantum theory in some sense, but you're sticking to the basic kind of dynamical system perspective on it. I mean, that, I suppose that your manner of talking about measurements and consecutive measurements and so on would be just the same as in the standard formulation of quantum theory.
Consecutive measurements in what sense?
Well, I mean, the rules that you have to say what, I mean, how a state changes when you do a measurement, and then you do another measurement, and so on. That would just be essentially the same rules. Particularly, you would still have this sequential order of measurements.
I don't know whether I would have sequential order of measurement. I definitely would have sequential order of updatings in the sense that, but basically I see of it as that every agent, it's like there is still a lot of